This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world. Scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities. From Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Kicking off in Italy tonight, where LGBT activists are taking on the might of the Catholic Church in a bid to finally pass some hate crime laws in the country. The laws are not yet before Parliament. They have tried a number of times to get these laws through. Unlike other European countries, Italy doesn't have any specific protections based on gender, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Now, the current proposal is a little bit different because they're looking to extend the anti-racism laws that are currently in place so that they will outlaw discrimination and hate crimes against women, gay, bisexual and transgender people. This came about after a very horrid attack on a young gay man. He needed reconstructive surgery and, was... plastered all over the media, this issue. So 58,000 people got behind a petition to push this along. However, there is opposition. So the current ruling coalition, the ZANS Democratic Party, is supporting. However, the right-wing opposition party, the major one, Lega Nord, is opposing. And I didn't know this. Did you guys know this? That the Italian bishops have their own party, the Brothers of Italy.
I didn't know, but I'm not surprised, really. But I would kind of thought that these laws will be required by the EU. So, I don't know, shouldn't the EU do something to push that along?
I'm sure that's something that the government has in its mind, but maybe the EU doesn't want to take on the Catholic Church either. Indeed, it's had some priests and bishops speaking sermons from the pulpit against the law, and Pope Francis, who sort of seems to dip his toe in and out of LGBT issues from time to time without sort of committing to anything. So we'll keep an eye on this one and see how it progresses, but the fight is on in Italy. Stefan, what's your sport news?
Yeah, I've got sport news, which is unlikely for me, but the World Rugby has ruled this week that transgender women may not participate in elite and international women's rugby. So the guideline saying that the naturally acquired physical benefits that trans women receive by going through male puberty and the safety concern for other female player may trans women ineligible for competition. But trans men can compete in men's contact rugby.
How does that work?
Yeah, I'm not quite
sure. How is that?
I believe the trans men have to sign a waiver saying if I get injured because of my physicality, it's my own fault.
There's an interesting momentum. Yeah, we had this come out as well with the Olympics or one of the other sports that has it was the Olympics with runner Caster Semenya from South Africa, who have put extra requirements on trans athletes in their sports. So I wonder if there's a bit of momentum against trans athletes at the moment.
Yeah, I'm not sure because Shannon was saying, what they're putting under this decision is that, there's a quote from one of the sports scientists that was on the panel saying, categories of sex exist for a reason, and with the contact injury risk of rugby, this is the correct decision. So they're seeming to put that under the risk of injury, therefore overriding the need to be inclusive.
Speaking of the Olympics, Shannon, you've got some Olympic themed news?
Yeah, unfortunately the bad sport news keeps on growing. So the European Games, it's been decided by the Olympics that they are going to be held in the Malopolska region in Poland. This is controversial because it's one of the declared LGBT free zones that we've talked about previously. So obviously LGBT groups are saying that it's exclusionary to the LGBTI community, and that it is, you know, giving prominence and a platform to a community that has been opposed to acts of tolerance towards the queer community. The Olympics has tried to take away that criticism by saying that they will be signing a contract, a hosting contract, where they're not allowed to, you know, like take homophobic acts in the sense of this, of the European Games.
I wonder if this is an opportunity for the participating teams. I mean, I could imagine some very countries from across Europe who are very supportive of LGBT issues actually making this an issue and, you know, building it into their uniforms or setting up the athletes' village in rainbow colours or things like that. I wonder if it's an opportunity to raise the issue in Poland.
Well, it's not the first time that a major sporting event has been held in an unfriendly LGBTI country. I'm thinking of Russia and the FIFA World Cup, where you weren't allowed to fly the rainbow flag at all in any of the venues. But people did get round it. I saw on social media a group of fans that were wandering around in colourful shirts that just happened to make up the rainbow flag.
There are multiple people who from the European Parliament who have expressed their disapproval. So I do think it is important to note that, especially because they've these towns have had like their funding taken away from the EU based on these laws.
Yes, indeed. Now crossing to our UK correspondent, Paul.
Yeah, I'm afraid the bad news continues. So there's been a report from the BBC that hate crimes, homophobic assault, has tripled over the last 5 years. So it's gone from 6,600 in 2014-15 to 18,500 in 1920.
Wow.
So, and even in just the past year, there has been a 20% rise in reports of homophobic hate crime to the police. Now, the police have said, well, part of this is because there's greater confidence in reporting it. And the charities, the LGBTI charities, agree with that. But they also point out that nearly 80% of all hate crime isn't reported. So what they're actually looking at is just a bit of an iceberg.
Those crimes are really underreported already. So this is, I mean, there might be better reporting, but it's still nothing compared to what's happening.
Do you think it's, is it something to do with is it government related, policy related? Because, I mean, we would put UK as being a very, you know, pro-LGBT country, but there's obviously some sort of undercurrent.
It'd be interesting to see where, I guess, it kind of breaks down, right? Because the UK, like, it is a pretty broad, like, it is inclusive of Scotland and Northern Ireland, and it'd be interesting to see if the statistics were different in each of those different places.
I think these statistics may be for England, because they've got breakdown for different regions. So you've got sort of like, in just for the London Metropolitan Police, over 2019 to 20, they went from 1,500 reports to 3,000, so it doubled. In Greater Manchester was even bigger, went from 423 reports to 1,230.
Wow, certainly something for us to keep an eye on. Just before we go, some news out of Serbia, where their openly lesbian Prime Minister, Ana Brnabic, has been elected in a landslide for a second term. The reason that's even bigger news is because our show next week is on Serbia. So tune in for that one. And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, World Wide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.